I am very glad to be here. We have enjoyed it tremendously, and I do want to thank the McGoverns and Independent Baptist Church for your exceptional hospitality. As missionaries, we travel, we go a lot of places, and we do receive hospitality in every place, some not as good as others, but hospitality nonetheless. But you folks are exceptional, especially allowing us to import a whole crew to come up with us and stay with us, and we appreciate all that you've provided. I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is one of my favorite books, and I think it's probably a favorite of a lot of people. It's a very positive book, and it's a book of rejoicing. And tonight, in Philippians chapter 4, I want us to look at rejoicing in the Lord always. Someone came and asked me the title of my message this morning. I think probably to be able to label it as something. And once in a while I have a really good title. Yeah, most of the time. That's just what it's about. Okay. And tonight it's a really great title of what it's about. And that's rejoicing in the Lord always. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 20. I'll read it to you, and you can follow along in your Bibles for when I don't do it right, and that way you'll still have it right. All right, Philippians 4, 4 through 20. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this evening. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would prepare our hearts, that you'd speak to our hearts, challenge us, strengthen our faith, encourage us. You know our need. Glorify your name. in the preaching of your word. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Who would not want to be rejoicing all the time? I don't know, I guess I saw a license plate the other day. I think it said grumpy on it or something like that. I mean, why anyone would choose to not be rejoicing all the time, I'll never know. Now, whether I fail in that or not, we're not going to talk about. We're going to talk about you tonight, okay? But to choose to not be rejoicing, to choose to not have the joy of the Lord, absolutely makes no sense to me at all. I think that all of us surely want, if we know the Lord is our Savior, we want to be rejoicing in the Lord always. And in this topic sentence of this paragraph, where he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, that double statement there, or that repetition there, in that makes it even more emphatic. Paul was so thankful for that church at Philippi. Paul loved them. They loved him. He prayed for them and rejoiced in them. They no doubt prayed for him, rejoiced in him, and what God was doing with him. And there was a tremendous relationship there. Missionaries have the opportunity to be in many churches and meet many people, many pastors. Sometimes, often, of course, we get to know others better, more intimately than others. But the relationship of a missionary with the churches that he gets to visit and gets to share with is a cause for rejoicing. And this rejoicing is different than any other kind of rejoicing. It's different than being happy. It's different than having fun. I like to be happy, and I like to have fun. But rejoicing in the Lord is on such a different level than that, maybe I shouldn't even have mentioned them along with it. Because I know rejoicing in the Lord. I know when I've not been pleasing to the Lord. I know when I failed. And I know what I feel like when I failed. And I know how good it is when I failed to confess it to the Lord and to be restored to fellowship and be able to be rejoicing in the Lord. I assume that most of you have been in both of those places at one time or another in your life. And if you have, you would have to agree with me how much better it is to be rejoicing in the Lord. Paul challenged these believers, and I challenge you tonight, and I only know a very few personally, lives that I've observed for some time. Most of you, I've just met you today, and a few maybe a few days ago. But and not knowing your state, not knowing your relationship with God and your everyday walk and all that, I challenge you, I encourage you, if you are rejoicing in the Lord, of course, I would say, well, keep on doing it. If you're struggling, if you're having problems, and there are all kinds of problems that we face, but through our problems, we can still rejoice in the Lord because the Lord never changes. Our circumstances change, problems come and go, but the Lord is always the same. First, we see in verse 5 and following, rejoicing in the Lord, the command, and the course. The course that will establish this rejoicing in the Lord. In verse 5, he says to let our moderation be known. If we would have continual rejoicing in the Lord, we need to be men and women, youth, of moderation. as we face things and things that are out of our control and we have to react, we're going to feel something, there's going to be a trial, we need to be patient. We need to be patient. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to surrender any thought of control to the Lord so that the Lord is in control, and be patient. Wait on the Lord. The Lord is at hand. One thing I know, if you're a born-again child of God, anything, any hardness, any trial, anything negative that you face in this life is only for a while. But what we have in the Lord is forever. It's for eternity. And I know our Papua New Guinea believers just had a great trial in the passing of Pastor Martin Lucas just before we left. Group after group came by our house to talk to us and to cry with us and to bear the burden together. And their sorrow and their sorrow of heart. And yet, his wife, his little boy doesn't know yet, but his wife knew immediately. He's gone, and there's heartache, but he's with the Lord. So even in that, there is rejoicing in that he is in the Lord. A couple years ago, one of our very dear friends in Papua New Guinea lost her husband. She had married out of God's will. She had married an unsaved man. And as far as I know, he was still unsaved when she lost him to death. I can't imagine a more terrible trial than that. To know that if you believe the Bible, your life mate has just slipped into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't imagine a trial any worse than that. But for the believer, in God's will, living for God, we have the ability to rejoice in the Lord always. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And then, trust the Lord. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Every time my wife and I walk out of the door, I tell her, be careful. Watch your step. Why? Because she falls down. That's why. Not all the time, but she does. I mean, we finished the missions conference. Great missions conference. People saved and baptized and good faith promise. We left the morning service. She stepped off a step and into the mud and slipped and broke her ankle. Easter Sunday morning. One time. I shouldn't be telling you, should I? Anyway, okay, I'm going to move on. The point is, I love her. I care for her. I don't want any more hurts. So all the time, she's probably tired of me saying, be careful, look out. We're not talking about that kind of careful, all right? We're talking about being anxious. We're talking about being troubled. We're talking about being worried. Be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't take any thought about how you're going to do this. Trust the Lord. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad it gets, trust the Lord. The Lord is in control. The Lord will direct your path. The Lord will make a way. Trust the Lord in all the trials, and therefore, continually rejoice in the Lord. In verse 7, one of the most precious promises in the Word of God, and there are a lot of them, but he said in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace. If we live in moderation, if we trust in the Lord and are not anxious or worried or troubled about the things we face because we trust Him, because we turn them over to Him, we know that He can handle it better than we can, we're able to have the peace of God. We can understand peace. We can understand what it is to have peace and what it is to not have peace. Some peace is just pretty easy to understand. It's just a natural result of some things happening that give us peace. But there's a peace that passes our understanding. There's a peace that we cannot have in ourselves, but a peace that we can have in the Lord. In that course and in those steps to rejoicing always, we have this peace. And verse 8, so many times we magnify our problems. So many times a problem that would not be as big a problem becomes a bigger problem because of choices that we make. And we make the choices we make because of the way we think, the way we reason. But in verse 8, it tells us of those things on which we are to think. What a list. Whatsoever things are true. Well, the Word of God is true. If we accept all of the truth of the Word of God and meditate on His Word, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, not deceiving ourselves or allowing ourselves to be deceived, but thinking on honest things, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Now, if we are continually, and God desires for us to continually be thinking on these things, then we're not thinking on the opposite of these things. We're not thinking on the negative side of these things, which would lead us to lose our rejoicing in the Lord. But if we think on those pure thoughts, those good thoughts, then we may rejoice in the Lord. And then, so important, in the course of having that rejoicing always, verse 9, obedience in service. He said, what you've learned, what you've received, what you've heard, and what you've seen in me, do. I'm reasonably sure that your pastor is not perfect. And I didn't ask his wife. She would not tell on him. She's loyal and faithful. I'm pretty sure he's not perfect. But God has called him and God has put him here and God has put him here in leadership of the church. And in Hebrews, the Bible tells the church to follow the faith of their pastor. As your pastor studies, learns, teaches, preaches, prays for you, counsels you, what you learn of him, from him, what you receive from him, what you hear from him, what you see in him, Paul said, Do. Obey God's word. I know that your pastor spends hours and hours and hours and hours a week studying. I know some pastors that don't spend very much time studying. The sermons are different. A pastor who carefully examines the Word of God and studies the Word of God and cross-references and gets the context and seeks God and seeks God's help and puts a sermon together or a lesson together, when that's delivered, that's what I want to hear. That's what I love to hear. A carefully studied, carefully prepared message from the Word of God, where it is Bible. It's true. It's helpful. But if one would not take that care, just find a verse or two and think of some things, jot down a few things, and get up and just talk about those things, that won't give you what you need from the pulpit for your life. He said, if you'll do this, if you'll listen, he was saying to them concerning himself and his ministry, but if you'll do this concerning your pastor, and I know your pastor pretty well, so I can say this with confidence, if you will do this, then the God of peace will be with you. And you can continue rejoicing in the Lord. And then verses 10 through 12, we see this rejoicing in the Lord, the cause and contentment. In verse 10, Paul said concerning the church of Philippi and concerning his ministry that he rejoiced in the Lord greatly because of their care for him. There, he said, your care of me hath flourished again. They had helped him before. They had been a blessing to him before. When no other church did, they were a blessing to him. And now, it wasn't like, in his time, it wasn't like now. Now, I mean, you can send anything express mail, and in Papua New Guinea, it'll get there in a month. Okay? Here in America, you can spend anything express mail and you'll get it in a day or two. You can go to the bank. You can do money transfers. I mean, you can do all kinds of things. In Paul's day, it wasn't like that. They cared about him. They wanted to be a part of his ministry, but they lacked opportunity. When the opportunity came along, their care for him flourished again. They were careful in a good way. That is, they were interested in ministering to him and ministering with him. They were disposed. When God gave the opportunity, they were ready to reach out and to do that. And he rejoiced greatly in the Lord, in God's care for him through the church at Philippi. In verse 11 and 12, he speaks of the contentment that he had. And this is a huge key in rejoicing in the Lord always. Contentment. Being content with what God has done for you and is doing for you in your life. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. Not because I lack anything. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul could say, and Paul faced so much, and you know, you've seen the list of things that Paul has listed in a couple different places that he endured and that he suffered. But Paul said that I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to be brought low. I know how to be down on the bottom and not know what God is going to do, but that God is going to do something. I know how to be abased. And he was saying, I have been abased. I know how to be abased. But he said, I also know how to abound. And God has made us to where we can be abased and we can abound and we can rejoice in either state. Paul said he could rejoice in either state. And then he said, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. If I had my choice, I would be full, not hungry. That's why I'm carrying a few extra pounds. I would rather be full than hungry. But if I get hungry and stay hungry for a while, I can lose a little bit of weight. I know how to be full. I know how to be hungry. I know how to abound, and if I had my choice, I would abound. But I also know how to suffer need. And sometimes I need to suffer need. Sometimes I need to be brought to the place where there's nothing else to do than to trust God. But when I'm in that place, or any of these other places listed there as far as the negative side, I can rejoice in the Lord. I love the Lord. He's been so good to me. He has provided for my family. He's worked in our ministry. He's done so many things that I thank Him for. I love Him. And whatever He has for me, I want to praise Him in it. I want to rejoice in the Lord always. And then, thirdly, in verses 13 through 19, and rejoicing in the Lord always in regard to Christ Himself and His church. In verse 13, He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Referring back to what He's just said, whatever comes my way, if I am patient, if I'm trusting God, if I'm waiting on Him, if I'm living in moderation and I'm trusting God, whatever God does, I will rejoice. I will thank Him for it. What we think is good and what we think is bad as far as the full and the hungry and the abounding and the suffering need, I can do it all. I can be content, Paul said. I can be content in whatever state. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He rejoices in Christ. He rejoices in the church. Now concerning the church at Philippi, verses 14 through 16, he speaks of communicating with them, having fellowship with them in God's service, co-participating together in God's service. He said, notwithstanding, you have well done that you communicate, that you did communicate with my affliction. He said, I can suffer a need and I can be abased. But God has led you, and you followed God, and you have participated in my ministry. You've had fellowship with me in this ministry, and you've sent to my need, and you have well done. Because you communicated with you participated in my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. None had fellowship with me or participated with me in giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Oh, Paul had a love and an appreciation for them. And I guarantee you, the missionaries that you support that are right with God, and I hope they all are, appreciate what you do for them. I appreciate every church that helps us. And then in verse 17, he's talking about what they had done, how they had communicated with him, and he said, not that I desire a gift. I'm not rejoicing that you communicated with me just that I might receive that gift. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can be in need and I can still rejoice in the Lord. But he said, I do rejoice in that, not because I desire a gift and you sent a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And every missionary that you support, and everything that that missionary does for God on a mission field is credited to your account. Yes to his for doing the work, and yes to other churches that also help support him, but giving to missions and praying for missionaries and helping them and as God leads you to meet even special needs, it's not about the missionary. It's about God's work. And it's about the reward for faithful service. God will bless you. Fruit will abound to your account. And I don't believe any of us realize that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, how much has been credited to our account if we've been faithful in giving and praying and serving. In verse 18, he speaks specifically of the offering that they had given. And he said, but I have all. Now, I abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell. I walked down the stairs this morning, and there was a sweet smell in the kitchen already. Before I ever came to church, and by my choice, I came to church without breakfast. Before I ever got here, I was hungry already, smelling what I smelled when I walked down the stairs. When I was pastoring a small church in Kansas, had small children, God provided for us in wonderful ways through church members and farmers and ranchers around there and all kinfolk and church members. And we often had beef given to us. We had one church member that wanted to give us 90% of the beef, keep 10% for himself. We didn't have any place to keep it. And he found a used freezer for sale, and he bought the freezer to give us to put the beef in that he was given to us as a gift. Now, that's a good gift. And our finances were very limited, and the expenses were not, and you know how that goes. And sometimes we had very little money for grocery money. But when we had very little money for grocery money, and I was hungry, and we were suffering need, you know, the context here, okay, when my wife wouldn't buy meat, we'd go to the freezer and get out the free meat. I mean, the meat that had been given as a sacrifice. And often on Sunday, we'd have a roast that she'd put in slow cooker or whatever, the oven, I guess. Yeah, the oven with potatoes and carrots and onions and all those good things. Put it in there, turn the fire way down. We'd go up to church and come home. We lived in an upstairs apartment. By the time you got to the bottom of the stairs, you could smell it already. You know how a roast is. Yeah. Every step, it got better. And when you'd open the door, then just about send you back down the stairs. So you grab the door because you don't want to go away from that smell. Our service for God, your service for God, and your giving for God is as an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, God's supply, his promise. You give your heart and life to God. You serve God. You do as he directs. You rejoice in him. You do as he directs. God directs you to give, God will supply. You do something foolish, I think you're on your own. You do what God directs you to do, God will supply. But my God, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done for us, he said. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And all of this, in verse 20, he says, all is for the glory of God. We rejoice in God for who he is and what he does because of who he is. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul challenges us with a very strong challenge. Rejoice in the Lord always. Then he tells us how to do it. And then he tells us how God has blessed him and allowed him in all of his trials. Very few of us have had more trials than the Apostle Paul. And yet, he said, in any of it, I could rejoice in the Lord. Trust him, believe him, be constant, never doubt. Let him lead you, and he will provide for you. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're outside of all of this. You need Christ. You need his forgiveness, his salvation, that new life in him. Then this can be yours. If you're a child of God, you know you're a born-again child of God. And some of you, I know, for years, decades, you faithfully served the Lord. You've rejoiced in the Lord. No doubt we've all had our struggles. But I challenge you tonight. Someone may be going through some trials right now. I challenge you tonight to trust in the Lord. Review this portion of Scripture. Read it again for yourself. Meditate on it. Ask God to give you the thoughts. Ask God to help you to make the decisions that will allow you to trust him and rejoice in him always. It is his desire for you. That's what you have in Christ. That's what I have in Christ. Let's pray. Father,